from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You hear him on WGR, our Odyssey Sports sister station, and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary stopping by the sports bar on cutdown day for the Buffalo Bills, Nate. And we had a friendly wager happening here in the sports bar trying to determine how many players not on the Bills roster will they have on their roster final after the final 53. And it seems like Codrington would be one via the trade. How many players do you think they actually add that they haven't had all spring and summer here as they get ready for Arizona in week one?
So Sal Capaccio and I handicapped this at the over-under being 2.5. So it looks like if you, and I think Sal took the over. So by that mark, they'd need to trade for two more. Will it happen? I don't know. I'm a little surprised about the DB/kick returner. It seems like perhaps he was very adamant that this was not a report by him. He wasn't breaking this news, but Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast seemed to think that the move was indicative of a secondary move, which might put Daquan Hardy on IR. I didn't see a report of an injury. I was fairly certain he had left the final preseason game healthy, but it seemed like he had locked that job up. And on top of that, I thought he'd played really well, both in the slot, which is sort of what he had been shoehorned into coming out of college out of Penn State, is that he was going to be kind of a strictly a nickel guy, a slot guy, and they were cross-training him. He was playing on the boundary during games and during training camp and looked pretty darn good doing it. So to me, the only real explanation that makes sense is that he is injured. So we'll see if that is ultimately one of the corresponding moves, is putting him on IR with the potential designation to return, or if he simply, you know, just wasn't the guy that they wanted to give the job to and they found someone else elsewhere. So we'll see what that looks like over the next little while. But that was, I guess, a bit of a surprising move for me.
Yeah, as we were waiting the official word, but it seems like right now, Nate, that there are only 5 wide receivers on this roster, and one of them being MVS. And we don't know the status, certainly, of Valdes-Scantling for week one. So just your level of surprise that not only the KJ Hamler, and I thought maybe Hamler would have been kind of the backup returnee there, but he's gone. Tyrell Shavers didn't make the team. Justin Shorter. None of these ideas really worked here for the Buffalo Bills in terms of making the final 53.
Yeah. I would tell you, I think it's probably a precursor that both Samuel, or at least that they're confident Samuel and MVS will both be available week one. A little surprised that they don't have a receiver on the roster of the 5 they currently have that really offers special teams ability. Certainly not going to be MVS, maybe Mac Hollins, but I expect Mac Hollins to be playing quite a bit. And if he's playing quite a bit, we know Sean McDermott historically does not like to overload guys with a role, or at least significant role, on the offensive side of the ball. That will also be a primary special teams contributor. So I don't know. 5 seems light, but it's what they started the season last year with, and had Andy Isabella be their kind of guy off the bench, off the practice squad when needed. He could be that guy again. Maybe they'll bring back KJ Hamler in a practice squad role, and it'll be his job. But a guy like Noah Brown gets waived today by the Houston Texans. There is going to likely be some more names that get waived today at the wide receiver position. I just would be very shocked if they went into the season not making a move. And I had a lot of people text me today, buddies, what's going on? Are the Bills going to trade for a receiver? Are they going to pick up a receiver? What's going on? They can't possibly go in with this group of receivers. And although I would say that I agree, I think that it's very possible the Bills are more confident with their group of receivers than the general consensus of the fan base is. And this wouldn't be the first time, you know, the organization has differing opinions than the fan base on certain position groups. And, you know, they seem to know what they're doing, right? I mean, they get paid the big bucks for a reason. But I got to tell you, it's not that I'm concerned necessarily, but I guess maybe I'm a little concerned that there doesn't seem to be the same level of desperation, or at least level of concern at the wide receiver position that I think is warranted. This is not a group that inspires or instills a lot of confidence, largely because, you know, you can say you like Mac Collins. I like Mac Collins. But what evidence do you have that he's a guy that can really, week in and week out, be a big-time contributor for you? And you might respond and say, Nate, they don't need a big-time contributor. And I'm going to say, in what world do they not need big-time contributors? They just don't have them at the wide receiver position. A lot of guys that, in, you know, Curtis Samuel's case, done it one time. And yes, there was, you know, it happened to be Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. So, you know, obviously that instills some confidence. We'll see on Keon Coleman. But, yeah, and then, you know, Khalil Shakir certainly had an elevated role in the second half of last season and the efficiency numbers there. But that's not a guy that was getting 10-plus targets a game. So, yeah, I mean, I've got some concern that there doesn't necessarily seem to be this concern of, like, we are going to flip over every single rock for an opportunity to get better. If we can get better, then we will, even if it's adding a six receiver or saying we like him better than MVS. I don't think they're going to move off of Mac Collins. They like him, and I don't think they should move off of Mac Collins, but I don't think they should be afraid to get better than MVS. And frankly, I like Noah Brown. To me, is a no-brainer. That guy is, to me, taking MVS's job every day of the week. And I'm not sure. And we might know, we don't know. Maybe they'll make that move in the next 20 minutes and it all will be, you know, forgotten. And guys, does Noah Brown make you feel a lot better about where they are at the wide receiver position? I mean, no, but it's certainly, it feels like at least a marginal upgrade, which is, I think at this point, what anyone's looking for is just some level of awareness that, like, hey, we could be better here.
You know, I think Mac Hollins does play special teams for this team. He probably is like a special teams captain if I'm projecting it out, Nate. And I wonder to myself, if they do only keep five at wide receiver, what are they doing at tight end? Are they going to bring four tight ends in? Do you like what you see out of Zach Davidson this preseason? And could they be tipping their head a little bit here that it's going to be more 12 personnel than certainly we've seen ever by this Bills team?
I would not really like the move at all to go with four tight ends. You know, I thought Trey McKitty had a pretty good preseason as well. But, you can say you want to run more 12 personnel, but that's just not how modern-day rosters are built right now. I mean, that would be a concern for me. That would be maybe a move or a decision that would make me feel that they are dramatically shifting away from the wide receiver position in a league that is dramatically shifting towards it. You know what I'm saying? Zigging while everyone else is zagging. And sometimes that can be the smart move. You're bracing for the shift that eventually will happen in the NFL, which if wide receiver contracts start eclipsing $40 million a year, I could absolutely see a world where teams just start saying, you know what, we're going to draft them, and then they're walking in free agency, or we're going to go to the bargain bin and try to find guys, the Curtis Samuels of the world. But man, I don't know that is a philosophy rooted in reality. And it would certainly concern me if the Bills walked into this season thinking that they could get away with four tight ends and five wide receivers on a modern NFL offense with Josh Allen being the quarterback. It would feel a little out of touch.
Yeah, Nate, I've never questioned the Bills about, hey, writing a check or moving on from a contract. I always think that they're going to put wins above everything else, but I'm questioning this for the first time. $7.3 million for Tyler Bass. If that number, that dead cap figure, were there, would the Buffalo Bills today have a different kicker?
Very likely. I think the signs were there before the Chiefs game last year. And the thing with kickers you have to kind of realize is they can be great until they're not. And it can be quick, and they can sometimes never find it again. And, I mean, I think of Steven Hauschka, right? Now, there was an injury there, but he fell off a cliff himself. I mean, he was at one point a top five, top seven kicker in football until he wasn't. And Tyler Bass was looking like a top three, top four, top five kicker in football until he wasn't. So it's, to me, a concern in that. How about this? Let me flip the script a little on this conversation about Tyler Bass, because what it might force Sean McDermott to do is be even more aggressive than he's been the last couple of years. If your confidence, I think their confidence in Tyler Bass had been at points a crippling confidence in that this is a 56, a 55, 54 yarder on fourth and three, kick the field goal. And maybe now that confidence changes the way that they approach those situations, having Josh Allen at quarterback. So let me view it, try to spin it in a way that is maybe positive, but also recognizing that I have real, real doubts that Tyler Bass is going to find the confidence that he had.
Dude, I hear what you're saying. I think McDermott punts. That would be my fear.
God. Yeah, you know, that's a classic oversight by me right there, and that's why you guys get paid the big bucks. I mean, come on.
Nate, I think the Hollywood execs are licking their chops already. The title of the movie is Buffalo Joe. I mean, you can just throw it out there and go ahead. It's ready. I mean, all reports are that he's making the final 53-man roster, but can we all just admit that if Joe Andreessen is playing meaningful snaps at this season, something has gone really, really badly? Like, Joe Andreessen maybe is a little bit better than what you had in A.J. Klein on speed dial last year. What are your thoughts on this thin linebacking core with Milano missing time?
Yeah, it's a great story, but it's not a charity case. He earned the right to be on the team. And I think part of this conversation is if they expose him to waivers, he is getting picked up by another NFL team instantaneously. And for me, you just don't know what you have in Baylen Specter. Nick Morrow, I don't know. I think that it makes a lot of sense because of the upside that you saw very clearly in game situations. He made himself a lot of money in that preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's put it the way that it is. I called games of his in high school when I was working on TV. And I remember Joe Andreessen. It's not like one of those things where, hey, you know, I called games and, hey, I called a lot of games and I don't remember everybody. I mean, he was running Wildcat quarterback in high school. He was Lancaster, who went to the state championship that year. They might have even won the state championship that year. He was the best player on the best team in the state. And obviously goes to a smaller Division I college and then gets the opportunity at the University of Buffalo and tests out of the friggin' gym with his testing results. So, I think it's earned. It's a great story, but it's not just that it's a great story. It's that he earned the right to be on the 53-man roster. And yeah, I mean, if he's in the lineup, that means I think that, you know, they're in trouble. But I feel like they're in a much better position right now than they were in, you know, week 19 last year when they're asking AJ Klein to go out and cover Travis Kelce. I mean, you know, there are great starting linebackers in the NFL right now that will have a tough time doing that. But as relative athletic score, the instincts that he played with, and I think the confidence that he plays with makes him a really interesting player. And I think probably a prime candidate to be a special team standout this year, especially with the athleticism, for sure.
We're talking to Nate Geary. You'll hear him on the Buffalo Bills radio network. You hear him on WGR as well, opening day. So I don't know if I'm the first person to ask you, Nate, about the Bills and the Cardinals week one, but here we go. And look, it's week one. There's so many things we don't know, not just about the Bills, but in this league. And number one on the list for me is Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, number three overall, a lot of promise. Are the Bills' corners up for the task in this game? Is this your number one concern heading into week one?
Yeah, I think they are. You know, listen, this is a team that plays the Dolphins twice a year. I think they provide the most difficult matchup of any, you know, group of receivers in the NFL. And I like Marvin Harrison Jr. a lot. I think he's a very fluid, very natural route runner. But he's a rookie playing in his first game. And outside of that, a lot of people, the legend of Greg Dortch, although he is very small in stature, has a legend that is growing large. And, you know, is he going to be some standout number two receiver? We'll see. Michael Wilson, a draft pick from last year, their number three receiver. It's a fine group, but I don't think it's a group that's necessarily keeping, you know, defensive coordinators up at night. They're an up-and-coming team. I think it's a very important game for the Bills. It's a statement game. You can't start the season with a loss against the Arizona Cardinals and expect to be very many people's favorite to win this division moving forward out of week one. So an important game, a matchup that I think the Bills will probably have the advantage in, especially because it's Harrison's first game as a pro. But I think their quarterback room has gone from a quiet concern to really a group that I'm fairly confident is both deep, but also a group at the top with Benford and Douglas that I think are better prepared to play Sean McDermott's zone-heavy scheme better than any pair in really the last couple of years. I mean, they're just both perfect zone-level corners for Sean McDermott. And I expect to see Douglas to be even better with more time in the system. And I mean, he's such an anticipatory player, anticipating routes and picking off, you know, like walking and just knowing where the ball is going. And Benford is only going to, I think, get better playing with a guy like Douglas who can pass along a lot of the veteran instincts that he possesses.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate, we have the annual conversation every preseason when we see a lot of backup quarterbacks playing in football games, wondering who out there is a suitable backup to your team's quarterback. And I don't think any of us were inspired by what we saw out of Mitch Trubisky or Ben DiNucci or Anthony Brown, for that matter, or Shane Buechele, certainly in week one of the preseason. My question is, do they bring back DiNucci to the practice squad, potentially elevate him to backup Josh week one if Trubisky isn't ready to go? It seems like Trubisky will be the backup, but we don't really know how severe that knee injury is.
Yeah, I think it was the great Tom Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts, that he was asked by the media why the backup quarterback doesn't get more reps during the week. And he said, because if Peyton Manning gets hurt, we're bleeped. That is largely the case for the Bills here. And listen, I think they spent more money than they should have on Mitchell Trubisky in the offseason. He's a veteran minimum to slightly above veteran minimum player for me. They could still make a move. I think Ben DiNucci is probably a lock to be their third quarterback. But largely, guys, I'm not sure it matters who their backup quarterback is. I think you do want a guy that if Josh Allen has to miss 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that you don't go 0-3, that you can at least stay in those games and have a guy. That's why, to me, a guy like Justin Fields is the ideal backup quarterback in the system, because if Josh Allen goes out, I just need a guy that can get you through a couple of games and have an elite level trait and running the football, being a scrambler. That to me is the kind of guy you want in this offense. This is not a room inspiring a lot of confidence, and nor should it. It's probably one of the weaker backup rooms in the league. And I was very, very disappointed, because it's not like my expectations were high for Mitchell Trubisky, but man, he has really not lived up to the draft status, obviously, but it's been a tough run for Trubisky. And if he can't beat out, you know, long-term Kenny Pickett, who's, you know, what, the third quarterback in Philadelphia now. He's on his last straw in the league, guys. You know what I mean? So, we'll see. I think at the end of the day, he's here because Josh Allen is friends with him. That's what I think.
Yeah, last one for me, Nate. And a lot of people, I'm hearing a lot of people taking the Jets to win the division. Some people are saying the Dolphins, heck, if they won Week 18, they would have won the division last year. They didn't. My question, who do you like to win the AFC East this year?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of what ifs, right? You know, what if I won $1 million? Or, you know, what if I was, you know, 6'5" with a laser rocket arm? However, I am not. I am a 6-foot male with below average arm, you know, arm strength. But, man, can I hit a long putt? I think for the Jets, I was watching Jeff Darlington on ESPN today. And it was Mike Greenberg, who obviously is just a Jets shill, and Bart Scott. And he said, you know, these guys, classic Jets fans, no one's respecting the Jets. And he's like, there's nothing to do about respect. You guys got anointed the AFC East division winner and Super Bowl favorite last year, and your season ended 4 plays in the end of the year. And you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's coming off of that injury this year. Could we just see it from the Jets? Like, they haven't done anything since Joe Namath, for God's sakes. Like, I just don't know why anyone has to get to the point where they're saying, yeah, it's the Jets, they're the favorite. I just, like, I gotta see it, man. They are the Jets, and I know that in a perfect world, every season, the slate is wiped clean.
Let me reframe it a little bit, because I hear what Gene's asking you, and I'm using his term here. We're reframing it here. On paper, who has the best roster in the AFC East?
On paper, it's probably the Jets.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And second best?
But,
it's tough, well, right?
Let me ask you a rebuttal question. Is it who has the best players or who has the best roster?
On paper, who has the best roster? Because I know that Josh Allen's a good player. I know that Sean McDermott is the best coach in the division. But just top to bottom, best roster on paper heading into week one.
Top to bottom, I would take the Bills over the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins have a really strong top 7 to top 9 players. I think their roster is, frankly, not very good behind it. I'm not sold that. I think the Dolphins are not going to be the same team that they were last year. They have the worst offensive line in football. And we saw what happened the last time they had a bad offensive line. And you can practice falling all you want. But as soon as Tua starts getting hit behind that offensive line, they're not going to be able to run the ball with the same efficiency they did last year with that bad offensive line. Like, Devon Achane's a really nice player, and he was getting, you know, you could fit a FedEx truck sideways through the holes he was getting. And that's not going to be the case with, you know, I love him to death, but Liam Eichenberg, obviously is a former Notre Dame guy. He stinks. He's terrible. I think that their roster, their bottom 10 players might be the worst bottom 10 players in the league for the Dolphins. So the Jets by not a wide margin, it's close, but, you know, they don't have Josh Allen. And that's always going to be whatever game the Bills go, any divisional game the Bills walk into, they will have such a dramatic advantage at the quarterback position that I think they can overcome, you know, just about any other deficiency on their roster.
Nate Geary, radio host, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, WGR, and former Buffalo State quarterback. That's one of my regrets, Nate, that I didn't know you back then, but certainly watched you hold some place kicks over the years there, so.
I'll tell you, you know, it's an underrated value and skill, but my coaches let me know all the time how much they appreciate a really good hold, you know.
That's great. Nate, we'll look forward to hearing you during the regular season, buddy. Enjoy your time, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, gents. Until next time.
You got it. Thanks, there he is, Nate Geary. Hear him on WGR, our Odyssey Sports sister station, and in the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Broadcasts start here, what are we talking about, a week from Sunday?
Those are the best questions where it stops somebody dead in their tracks. Who's got the best roster?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, and I think it's a thought-provoking question right now, because right now there's a lot that he's right. There's a lot that we don't know. We haven't seen any of it. What does it look so? What do we have to go on? We have on paper. That's what we have to go on right now.
And understand where the Greeny reference, and I caught this too, and I don't even think it's worth discussing because you know the angle, you know the motive here. Greenberg believes that the top contenders of the Chiefs in the AFC is the New York Jets.
Yeah, that's right. But that's always been Greeny. That if you know the
right.
the personality, the character that he's playing for his show.
So, but I'm not a character. See, I recognize this. Just it's a team that rhymes with Jets, and you kind of get excited, and then all of a sudden, bam, and you get all angry. We're one and the same here, dude.
They are. There's a lot of crossover in those fan bases, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a lot. I'm not a Jet fan.
There's a lot of crossover. Yeah. A lot of crossover between those two fan bases. And are there similarities? Yeah, I think there might be some similarities between the fan base I lovingly refer to as Social Misfits and the New York Jets fan base. Good stuff from Nate as well. We haven't heard yet from the Bills on their final 53, or have we? I don't think we have.
No.
Some teams cross my feed.
I can say it. It's healthy for you.
You're right, Gene. Right? Yeah, 4:30. Yeah. I said 4:30. You're saying maybe by the time we get off the air.
No, I said 8:00.
8:00 tonight. Well, we're just putting our phones away and calling it a day. Because it may be because it's less than inspiring. Not really something you want to show off when people are engaged as they are right now. Happy Hour is next on The Fan. We'll get to some of the more notable cuts made, not just by the Buffalo Bills, but from around the NFL, guys that are looking for work today on NFL cutdown day. Literally hundreds of players looking for their next opportunity. We'll dive into what we've heard so far about the Bills' final 53-man roster. We'll get to a round of shots, and we'll take your calls. If you want to join us, pull up a stool at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.